opportunity to ask questions and share your opinion with me and your neighbors. Again, please stay on the line and welcome to the town hall.
The teleform is currently in progress. Please note that this call may be recorded.
Right. So, Greg, why don't you explain some of the initiatives that you've been doing?
Thank you, Charles. Well, the Coalition of Homeowners for Intelligent Power was formed about 7 years ago by a number of Mississauga and Etobicoke residents and ratepayers groups. We have been fighting ever since then against this power plant, seeing it as absolutely a wrong location. And we've been thankful for your support, and certainly this was the right decision by this government. It's unfortunate it took so long, but it's never too late to correct a mistake. And you know, we'll eagerly await the position of the other parties. This is a very important issue in Etobicoke and Mississauga, and I'm happy to take part tonight.
Thank you.
Today.
Steve, do you want to contribute at this point?
I think Greg said it the best. I think that, you know, as an advocate for, you know, change and making sure that we're looking after the families and the health and welfare of the residents of Mississauga and Etobicoke, that this is a big step forward. And as you know, for the last 8 years, Greg and I have been working on this with, you know, Tony Jones and Barry Bedar and Monica. And I think that this is helping us understand that that your government has decided to make changes for the better and really help us out in terms of being residents in South Mississauga and South Etobicoke, and even in Toronto, Mimico, Long Branch, all those other residents that are going to be grateful and helpful in trying to make this a better city.
One of our leaders and greatest advocates in respect to air quality has been Dr. Boyd Upper, who has been addressing this issue for over 20 years as it relates to our air shed, and his contributions and advice has been outstanding. He sits on sat on the Clarkson Airshed Advisory Committee, sits on the Petro-Canada Liaison Committee. He was part of the Balzilli Report, which has initiated a pilot airshed management system to our community. He's been a fantastic advocate, and Boyd, I'd love to hear some of your comments.
Thank you, Charles. I think today is a very good day for the residents of Mississauga and the GTA generally. Air quality has been and is a public health crisis in Ontario. The Ontario Medical Association has been saying for 10 years that there has to be a change in the way we deal with air pollution. And this is happening here. It started in the Clarkson, Oakville area with the Clarkson Airshed Study, in which the Ministry of the Environment demonstrated by monitoring that our air is toxic. It was followed by an advisory committee that recommended that certain changes be made. That was followed by Dr. Balsillie's task force report, and his report delivered last year was a groundbreaking effort because it basically said to the government that you must now take a completely different look at how you go about siting and locating things like polluting gas plants. You must put health first, that the siting should be done so that it will harm the fewest people. And I'm delighted to know that that's in fact what's starting to happen. Dr. Balsillie's recommendations also called for an air management plan for this area. And the government announced a month ago that they are proceeding with that recommendation. And that air management plan will go into effect as soon as the organizing groups are put together. It will include constant monitoring of pollution levels in this area, reduction of existing pollution, the prohibition of future additional polluters until the air is clean, and a timely reporting mechanism to the public. I think today is another step in the consistent pattern over the last few years of the government realizing that air quality is important and that they must make changes. I'm delighted that they've done it.
Thank you very much, Boyd. Eric, why don't we take some questions?
I think we do have some questions ready to go, but I also want to remind the over almost 6,000 people who've already joined us, you can ask a live question of your own by pressing star 3 on your phone's keypad. So once again, if you have a question or comment about this issue, please press star 3 on your phone's keypad. At that time, someone will take your name and place you in the question queue. Our first live question is coming up from Richard. Richard, welcome to the virtual town hall meeting. You are live with Charles Souza and also a few guests. Please go ahead with your question.
Now, my question is, why was it approved in the first place? There's a lot of other economies that have these type of technology, and we need to start learning from them and not approving them in the first place. So why was it approved in the first place? Because it's basically a waste of time and money that we're now going through to get it unapproved.
Thank you, Richard, for the question. And yeah, in 2005 is when it was first approved at a time when we needed more power and there was some concern about the integrity of the grid. Since then, we've made a number of changes through conservation and through alternate sources of energy that lessens the reliance on the peaker plants. And, you know, we've done some extraordinary things with alternative sources. You should know that here in Clarkson, we have now 2.5 acres of solar panels on rooftops that provide 464 kilowatts of power, helping us out. And we've got new technologies that will also give us some peaker assistance. For example, battery, a lithium-ion battery the size of a small garage, can do 1.5 megawatts of power per hour. It's now produced in Clarkson and being shipped to other jurisdictions. That's something that we can use here as well. And there's no emissions, and there's no threat to local communities. But your point is right on. We this approved plant was way too close to homes, too close to the rail line, flooding the Etobicoke Creek, and close to hospitals. And we and I have certainly been concerned, even prior to being elected, as to what had taken place. That's why we've been asking for a full assessment on the property, independent when it was first produced. But it came in under 300 megawatts, so it didn't require it, and we still fought hard. But the community has grown. Things have changed over time, which more importantly expresses the concerns that the community's had to ensure that we don't continue down this road. There's never a wrong time to do the right thing, and that's why we've made the decision.
Now, I do also want to remind everyone that you can ask a live question of your own by simply pressing star 3 on your phone's keypad. I believe we have another live question coming up, and this one should be coming up from Sharon. Sharon, welcome to the virtual town hall meeting. You are live on the line. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello?
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I just want to make a little notation here. I think we have natural gas furnaces, most of us, and they're all burning. Are they different than the power plant in some other than the power plants there?
Well, I'm going to defer that one to Dr. Boyd Upper. He's the specialist. Boyd, do you want to respond?
Well, the difference, I think, is that the gas plant that was just canceled was going to be a 280 megawatt plant. To give you an idea of the size, the rule of thumb in electricity generation is that 1 megawatt supplies 1,000 homes. So technically this plant would have the capacity to service the electric needs of 280,000 households. The concentration and the volume of pollution that's produced on a single site by a plant of that size is extraordinary. And because of wind patterns and so on, everybody downwind suffers. There's a very significant difference between the total volume of pollution and its concentration.
There's a cumulative impact that affects our community when we look at these new emitters coming in play. The idea is to reduce emissions overall, and some of the biggest contributors of particulate matter has come from automotive as well as some of our residents, but we don't want to contribute. We don't want to add more to it, and that's the issue. Also with us on the line, I believe, is Jim Tovey, counselor for Ward 1, where this proposed plan was cited. Are you on the line, Jim?
Yes, I am, Charles. Hi.
Thank you for joining us as well. And those who are listening, Jim has been quite a strong advocate prior to being elected with revitalization of the Lakeview site and the whole waterfront area. So thank you, Jim, for attending and being part of the town hall.
think this is a really important election for all of us, Charles. And just to start, I'd really like to compliment you on the work you've done, not only when you've been in office and trying to protect our environment and make our community better for future generations, but also even prior to being elected, you were a very strong advocate for cleaner communities. And I, as an environmentalist myself, I really appreciate the work that you've done. Actually, I just sort of wanted to switch gears for a couple of minutes because I think one of the things as a municipal politician that I'm very concerned about, and I have to say to anybody else that's on the line right now, is that I'm not a member of any political party, and I've actually voted for every political party over the course of my history of voting. But what I always look at is platform, and I look at the individual. And the thing that really concerns me as a municipal councillor is the conservative promise to stop the uploading, and that's going to have a serious impact on municipalities. Where last year in the region appeal, we received compliments of the Liberal government, which has been the first government since 1999 to actually start uploading some of the social costs that the municipalities had to bear when the downloading started in the late 90s. And we received for the region appeal over $37 million last year. I think it's going to go up to about close to $50 million next year if it is a Liberal government, and the Conservatives have clearly said they're going to stop that uploading. And a lot of my friends, my Conservative friends, say, well, what's the difference? It's a dollar that you're paying in taxes. But the thing is, as a municipal elected official, we don't know where that dollar is going to go. We don't know if that dollar is going to go into our badly needed infrastructure deficit. We don't know if it's going to go into transit. All we know is we're not going to be able to have it, and we're not going to have control over it. And I think that's going to have a very, very negative effect. So that's one of the issues I think is really important in this election. And, of course, the other one is the Green Energy Act. The environmentalist in me, wants to keep that Green Energy Act, and I'd like to see more renewables. We haven't even started to tap into any sort of deep water heating and cooling, for example. Hasn't really even begun. The City of Toronto has Enwave, and it's a very profitable business. And really, when you look at Lake Ontario, it's a massive battery. And geothermal, we haven't really started to even tap into yet. I think we have a responsibility to our children, our grandchildren, and future generations all the way down the line to stop being wasteful with fossil fuels and to start getting really, really getting up to speed and start doing more what the Europeans are doing.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Jim. And, that's another alternate source of energy that's available right here at our footsteps, and that's this lake, our Lake Ontario, which can generate, sustain our community in a much more effective and cleaner way. You know, it's not just about clean air and clean water. It's also about our health. And it's good for economic growth to boot. Anyway, Eric, back to you.
Thank you there. Now, I do want to remind everyone that you can ask a live question of your own by simply pressing *3 on your phone's keypad. To the over 7,800 people who've already joined us, simply press *3 and you can ask a question about this very important issue. We now have a live question coming up from Brendan. Brendan, welcome to the virtual town hall. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, I would just like to know how much it costs the city for all these precautions related to the environment.
Brendan, that's a good question. And another way of asking it, how much does it cost us to continue having highly emitted fossil fuel burning conditions? You should know that this summer, during the hottest days of summer, not one smog day occurred in Mississauga South. And partly because of the fact that we've done away with the dirtiest polluter in the GTA, and that was the Four Sisters. It did its job during our times in the 50s and 60s and 70s, but now we have another way of getting to where we need, and this is a tremendous benefit for our health costs. It prevents people from getting sick. It also means that we're going to now be investing in alternate sources of green energy, which is going to produce economic growth for the province. You should know that we have a plan that's been succeeding in Ontario. We are becoming number one jurisdiction now for renewable resources and production. It is all part of our energy mix. We need to have all of these sources available to us, but let's not neglect the opportunities to do something that's even healthier for us in the long run. And just like we have new technologies in the past that were expensive and bulky, Loki, they all went down in price. Consider your cell phones or your plasma TVs. And we all know that fossil fuel and its limited resources are going to go up in price. So we have to find alternate sources. I know that we've done some stuff with Jim Tovey on this stuff, and he's also been looking at alternatives. And Jim, I'm not sure if you have anything more to add on that regard.
Well, you know, yeah, I guess there's a couple of different things on that. You know, one of my comments would be, we owe it to future generations. Every expert in the world has agreed that we've reached peak oil 3 to 4 years ago. Oil is only going to get more expensive, and I really feel a lot of guilt for my generation because we've really wasted a lot of opportunities, and I think it's really time that we should turn these things around. And as far as cost goes, I mean,